following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 12th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Thursdays are crazy around here for the next 2 hours. You know how it is. We are guest heavy today. Three guests in a 2 hour period, plus conversations with you on the phone lines and whatever else we can squeeze in to the next 2 hours. Hope you're doing well, staying safe out there. It seems to be dry right now, all sorts of wind, storms going through Alabama. I believe this is a part of all the tropical storm stuff that's been happening, I think. I'm not really sure. I'm not a weatherman. So all I do know is, or I guess all I hope, is that this weather decides to get out of here by tomorrow night and Saturday. Don't know any of that. Looks like tomorrow night, as I look at it right now, chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. And then on Saturday, looks to be some heavy rainfall. So may not be the prettiest of weekends on the plains for high school and college football, but you never know. It's weather. It does what it wants to do. And with that, lots to get to on the show today. All right, I promise you that it is guest heavy today, as it always is on Thursdays. We'll start with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll join us coming up at 2:30, get his thoughts on what happened last weekend, and flip the page to this weekend, what Auburn needs to do to bounce back against New Mexico, his thoughts on defensive adjustments and on the quarterback situation, and really how Auburn can use this game to get ready for SEC play starting next week. So all of that with Brad Law coming up at 2:30. Then at 3 o'clock to start hour number two, we'll have Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us on the phone lines. We'll talk about the big win over Opelika last week as the Tigers get ready to hit the road for the first time to take on Enterprise. We'll have him at 3, and then Chris Gordy is going to be with us at 3:30, and this man is dedicated. Let me tell you what, he informed me this morning. He said, hey, I'm good to go for today, but just to let you know, there's going to be a little background noise. I'm at the Astros game. Okay, that's awesome. Like, good for him, man. Talk about a dedicated guest. So he's going to take time out of his afternoon at a baseball game, and he's going to join us right here on ESPN. So looking forward to Chris Gordy. I'm sure he's got great things to say about Auburn losing to Cal last week. Can't wait for that. So all of that coming up on the show today. Until Brad Law joins us, I'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are open on this Thursday afternoon. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts going into Saturday. We're in full New Mexico mode now for Auburn football coming up in just about 2 days or so, right? What are your thoughts? What needs to happen? And the question everybody's asking, who should start at quarterback? Who should it be on Saturday? 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. That's 784-1067. Give me a call on the phone lines or shoot me a text there in the On the Line text box. And you start looking ahead to Saturday. And you start looking in. There's been so many common questions this week. Who's going to start at quarterback? Who should start at quarterback? What do we learn if it's this guy? What do we learn if it's this guy? What happens if they both play well? Or what happens if they both play terrible? But as I told Doug Amos earlier, and I joined his show, the Max Roundtable, at 11:20 every Thursday, I was telling him and some others that Auburn needs to worry about winning the game. Like, that needs to be priority number one. as crazy as that sounds, and as baffling as that may be, and as demoralizing as that may be, we need to focus on winning on Saturday. Because I think if we've learned anything in the last handful of years of Auburn football, and I'm not going to say specifically the Hugh Freeze era, but kinda, is that there are no gimme wins right now. There aren't. Auburn cannot walk into a game and just expect to win. And sure, that's sad to say, especially against a team like New Mexico. Now, is Auburn going to win on Saturday? Yeah, there's a pretty good chance. They're, what, 4 touchdown favorites on Saturday? Auburn's probably going to win. But Hugh Freeze told you straight up on Monday, he said, we are not talented enough to play bad and lose. He told us that. We are not talented enough. We are not good enough. We are not at a place to play bad and lose a football game. Well, guess what? Auburn played bad last week, and Auburn lost. Auburn played bad last year against New Mexico State, and they lost. Auburn played bad against Maryland, and they lost. Auburn didn't play great in the Iron Bowl. They played okay, good enough to win, but they still lost. Played good enough to win until the final play, right? And so, even with the new talent on this team, Auburn is still not in a place where wins can just be assumed. And I hate it. I hate it just as much as you do, because it hurts my soul. It hurts me on the inside to have to sit here and talk about the fact that Auburn has to play a good game to win on Saturday against New Mexico. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We're a year and 2 games into the Hugh Freeze era, and I don't know about you. This could be a hot take. It may not be. I don't know. But we're a year and 2 games into the Hugh Freeze era, and I still don't fully trust him and this staff to be prepared to win a football game. Think about that for a second. I'm not in a spot to trust that just yet. Because what have they shown us that allows us to trust them? Wasn't New Mexico State. Wasn't Maryland. Wasn't Cal. None of that has been good enough for me. None of that has given me the ability to trust them yet. There were never any doubts with Nick Saban at Alabama. And yes, I know there's a jump there. And we're talking about the greatest of all time. But why not have that be the standard, right? There was never a doubt that they were not going to be prepared when they played those talented Ole Miss teams, or when they played LSU, or when they played Auburn, or when they played some of these big openers. They were always prepared. Did they always win them? No. But they were always prepared. The game plan was solid. They were locked in. They were focused. And guess what? They won most of those games. We still have to learn that about Hugh Freeze at Auburn. Because as non-Auburn people like to point out, and we may not like it, but it's true. Doug and I talked about this today. Hugh Freeze has that reputation. He has that reputation of winning the big ones, the ones that most people wouldn't expect you to win, but also losing the ones that you're expected to win too. Losing the ones that you're not supposed to lose. And as I told Doug today, and I will die on this hill, a big upset win does not make up for a big upset loss. I will stand on that. And that probably, for me, that probably goes back even deeper than just being an Auburn fan, just being a fan in general. As a fan, or even when I was competing growing up, I'm one of those people. And there's all different types, but I'm one of those people where I hate losing more than I like winning. That goes from sports to a board game, Uno. Man, I hate to lose. Losing sucks. And winning is fun. But there's a different feeling when you lose. And when you lose, and when you're not supposed to lose. Right? And so, I don't care that Auburn almost beat Alabama last year. They didn't. And I said this earlier, even if they had, it wouldn't have made up for the New Mexico State game. Because what I do is I always go back and say, well, no surprise here, I say, what if? Okay, sure, we turn it around this week and you beat New Mexico and you beat Arkansas and then you beat Oklahoma. That's great. That's great news. But what if you had beaten beaten Cal? Then you'd be 5-0. And sure, 4-1's great, and if that happens, we probably won't complain a whole lot. But we'll always look back on the California game this year and say, what if we won it? What if that's the difference in making or missing a bowl game? What if that's the difference in an 8 or 9 win season if Auburn somehow figures it out, whether it's Peyton Thorne, Hank Brown, or whoever? Right? What if that's the difference maker in a playoff berth or not? And I know that's crazy, but I'm going through all the stages here. That's why I can't get over losses like that. And that's the reputation that Hugh Freeze has had during his career. You can't argue it. Happened at Ole Miss, happened at Liberty, and it's happened here at Auburn. And I want him to overcome that. I want him to find a way to get past that. Because Auburn is the best program he's ever been a coach at, historically, and just status-wise, it's the best program. That's not even an argument. It's not a discussion. Currently, it's not, but he's trying to get it there. And what I don't want to see, because I think Hugh Freeze can be successful here. I think Hugh Freeze can coach here for as long as he wants to if he gets it figured out. But what I don't want to happen here is for all this momentum to be built, for all this money to be coming in, for all the hype to be around this program, and him not be able to get out of his own way. And to fall into the same traps as he did before. No, I'm not talking about off-field stuff. I'm talking wins and losses. That's what I'm talking about here. I want him to find a way to overcome that. And you know how you do that? You over-prepare. You overwork. You overstudy. I don't care if you're playing the local junior varsity high school team. Give it everything you got. Give it everything you've got to take them down. I learned something a long time ago, and I'm still early in my radio career, but somebody told me something one time, and I've carried it with me every day. Every day I'm on this show, every time I step in the broadcast booth, anytime. They said, treat it and treat every day, every event, every broadcast like it's your Super Bowl. Treat it like it's your Super Bowl. And folks, I carry that with me every day. Because if you prepare for it that way, and you are ready for that, then you're ready for everything. If it's hard, you're ready. You prepared for that. You were expecting it to be that way. If it's easy, cool. You blow right through it, and you move on to the next. So why can't Auburn take that mentality every single week? Because it's obvious that's not what's happening here. It's not. It's blatantly obvious, dating back to last year. Why is that? That's my question. Words sound good, sure. But I judge you off results. Fans judge Auburn off of results. That's what we're supposed to do. And man, I feel as Auburn fans, we get tired of being fed words. And I'm not blaming Hugh Freeze on what he said. I've given him a ton of credit for his openness and his willingness to talk to us in press conferences. I've openly stated that. But words can only go so far. And your words start to fall short with me when the results don't back them up. Just flashback to Gus Malzahn. Because that's what I got extremely tired of with him. So Auburn has to find a way to overcome that. And it starts this Saturday with New Mexico. Auburn better come out overprepared, so locked in, and treat this like it's their Super Bowl, like it's their Iron Bowl. Sure, Auburn very well may win 50 to nothing, 50 to 10, 60 to 15, whatever the case may be, right? And there still is an asterisk by it because New Mexico is not a good team. Their defense is putrid. It's horrible. Historically bad. But it's not about that. It's about Auburn showing up and beating a team they're supposed to. Cool. They did it week one against Alabama A&M. But when the competition took a step up, they couldn't do it. The competition's taken a step down this week. They'll probably do it. And the more important time to visit this conversation is next week when Arkansas comes to town. Where? Auburn will be favored. Auburn will be favored next week. No doubt about it. Auburn will be favored at home against an Arkansas squad. Can they go in there and do what they're supposed to do? Can they beat somebody that they're supposed to beat? Who is actually legitimate competition? I haven't seen it yet. It's been rare. You could say Arkansas on the road last year, maybe. But other than that, it's been slim pickings on that. And that has to change. Let's get to our first break here in hour number one. Phone lines are open for the next segment, 334-321-1390. Reminder, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us at 2:30. So you got a segment to get in on this. Would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Back after this on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Rolling on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you all being with us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Again, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so after our bottom of the hour break. So phone lines are open. You can still get in on the program, 334-321-1390. And looking ahead to college football this weekend outside of Auburn and New Mexico, because let's be honest, not a whole lot of people care about this game other than us Auburn people, maybe some Alabama fans, a couple of SEC people will maybe throw their eyes on it. But other than that, I mean, there are some sneaky good games this weekend. Don't let people tell you there's not. And we've yet to have the just juggernaut slam dunk weekend of college football. I think we're going to get there coming up soon. I think week five is going to be that weekend. But there's some good games coming up on the slate. Friday night, tomorrow, you've got college football, which none of you will be watching that because you'll be listening to high school football, right? You can turn the TV on mute if you want to. Arizona and Kansas State, top 20 matchup, believe it or not. Number 20, Arizona. Number 14, Kansas State, 7 o'clock on Fox. You can watch that one if you want to. Of course, the big brand game of the day is Alabama on the road at Wisconsin. Tied favored by 16. Believe that's gone down a little bit. I don't know exactly what that opened up. It's been sitting around at that spot, right? We talked a little bit about this yesterday with Alabama on the road there at Wisconsin. It really does come down to, can Wisconsin get up? Can Wisconsin start playing good football? Because their first two games have been horrible. I mean, they've not played good football at all. And so I expect Alabama to win, I think. I'll have to give my picks today because I'm not in here tomorrow. So I'll have to do that. Alabama playing Wisconsin. College game day, going to LSU, South Carolina. Okay, I guess they just jumped on the opportunity to go to Columbia for the first time in a decade. LSU, South Carolina tomorrow. You do have another top 25 game. And I don't know if this is going to appeal to anybody here or not, but number 24, Boston College, taking on number 6, Missouri in Columbia. It's so big that they put it on the SEC network. So there you go. I don't know. I'll try to keep up with that one at 11:45 a.m. on Saturday morning. Yikes. Oregon and Oregon State, nice to see these two teams continuing to play. And hey, speaking of which, I forgot about that. I forgot there was an announcement today, right? There was an announcement today from the Pac-12. They're expanding. The Pac-12 survives. They have done it. They didn't fall into a dark abyss and let the two teams die with them. The Pac-12 has announced they have added four new teams to the conference. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State. How about that? Four state schools, literally, four state schools will start in 2026. And 2027. So you still have a couple of years for Washington State and Oregon State to be hanging around by themselves for a little bit. How about that? All six schools have state in their name. Was that by design? You tell me. So six schools will now be in the Pac-12 starting in 2026. And here's this. I didn't know this. The conference must have at least eight members by the summer of 2026 to comply with NCAA rules. How about that? They can obviously go past that, but looks like they are still going to be on the search for a couple of more schools, but shout out to the Pac-12. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State all joining the Pac-12. But we move on. So other games coming up this weekend. Tulane is on the road in Norman, taking on Oklahoma. An Oklahoma team that looked horrible a week ago, barely escaped a win. Notre Dame in the battle for the state of Indiana with Purdue. Don't you worry about Indiana, though. They've got a big game as well. Ranked Notre Dame coming off their loss against NIU. Not at NIU, just against them. That's all. Notre Dame favored by 10. You do have Ole Miss Wake Forest. Could be something. That's in Winston-Salem, so shout out to Ole Miss for, you know, walking outside of Oxford for the first time. I hate that Georgia-Kentucky's not going to be anything. I really do. I hate that this game took such a turn last week before it even got started, because Kentucky might just get blasted by Georgia in their home stadium. It probably won't be a sellout anyway, so keep that in mind. Couple of games outside of the ranked side of things. You do have Florida State, remember, trying to get their first win against Memphis. And I believe we went through some of these games yesterday. How about this one? How about Texas A&M and Florida? Interesting, huh? Florida at home, A&M favored in this game. I got to make some of my picks. I need to do that today. Because reminder, just a programming note for this show in particular tomorrow. It is on the air, same time, 2-4. Uncle T-Bone will be here. But Christian Griffin, voice of Lee Scott, he will be sitting in my place because I'll be on the road with Rob Payton, Jack Cudden. We're heading down to Enterprise tomorrow for Auburn High football. So the show will be on the air at the same time. Again, it's still free-for-all Friday. They'll start the show with Lee Sterling. Don't worry. None of that is changing. Christian's just going to swap with me, and he's going to run the show tomorrow. So keep that in mind. And then, Indiana, UCLA gets things opened up in the Big Ten. UCF, TCU got Big 12 play going on. You do have Colorado, Colorado State. You remember this game a year ago? This game got whack a year ago. Like, crazy, this game did. Other than that, though, again, it's not the craziest week of college football, but there are good games. Don't let people tell you that there's not. And I know we're all waiting for, believe it is, week 5. Is that right? I don't know. No, maybe it's week 4. Maybe it's week 4. I can't remember. I can't remember what week it is. Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about. You do have Tennessee, Oklahoma next week. How about that? Maybe it's week 6 that you have all those crazy, crazy matchups. Either way, lots of good games going on. Lots of good football. But we are still going to focus on Auburn and New Mexico. And Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will focus on that with us as well. We'll talk to him about what happened a week ago and what he thinks could happen coming up on Saturday. Maybe get some more thoughts. The new Auburn baseball schedule just dropped in the SEC. Might get Brad's thoughts on that as well. He joins us from the Auburn Sports Network next. And a reminder, head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football with us at 3 o'clock. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. All those wonderful guests coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
This is The Edge Daily with Kevin Flanagan, presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you.
Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth." Hi, I'm Kevin Flanagan with The Edge Daily. 30 years ago, I had a board member who used to work with me on our fundraising event. We would figure how many people getting involved at what level would bring what kind of results. When we were finished, we would look at the huge number for a moment, and then he would invariably comment with a chuckle on how we were awesome at raising money on paper. Then we would cut the number by 3/4 and make our realistic projection. It's easy to conquer nations and heal and save thousands in the planning room. I still dream big, plan, and project how to get there. But I do not go out and brag about what we will do. Too many things can intercept those plans, and ultimately, the outcome belongs to the Lord. Today, be diligent, allow God to accomplish what he desires, then brag about him. 1 Corinthians 1:31 tells us, "Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Don't miss any of the Edge Daily devotional challenges. Go download the free The Edge Daily app at your device app store today. And take a look at how The Edge can partner with your company at betheedge.com. And a shout out to these Edge partner companies, Domino's, Point Broadband, and the Auburn Network. Take a look at the website for the Iron Sharpening Iron lunches being brought to you by The Edge. Now, go be The Edge.
When bones get out of joint, or vice versa, the Orthopedic Clinic is here, providing expert care and surgery when needed, wherever it hurts. Hand, wrist, foot or ankle, back, neck or hip. Offering minimally invasive surgery and cutting-edge joint replacement. Serving patients from throughout the region. See the sports injury experts for athletes of all types. The Orthopedic Clinic. Call for an appointment, 334-749-8303, or visit theorthoclinic.com.
Paying for prescription medications can be difficult, especially if you're on a low or fixed income. But through the Senior RX program at Lee Russell Council of Governments, you could be eligible for free or reduced costs on your medications. Working full or part-time, unemployed, retired, a veteran, disabled. As long as you're 18 or older and have out-of-pocket expenses for your prescriptions, you could qualify. Senior RX specialists at Lee Russell Council of Governments will help you apply for those expensive drugs for chronic conditions or daily maintenance drugs. And it's not just for one drug either, but for each med you're prescribed. Often your medications can be mailed to you with no trips to the pharmacy. You could get free or sizable savings on prescription costs simply by calling Lee Russell Council of Governments, 334-749-5264. Free medications could start with that one call.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and joining us on the phone lines, as he does every Thursday at 2:30, it's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, great to hear from you once again, and hope you're doing well this week.
Always a pleasure, Jacob, and we're a couple days from game day. It is always great to be an Auburn Tiger, and so that's no different today, no doubt.
Well, before we get into all the game specifics from last week and going into this week and all the juicy stuff that's been going on around town this week, how has it been going for you guys so far at the Sports Network? No, there have been some changes in terms of the Tiger Tailgate Show and Countdown to Kickoff and Purdue, all of that type of stuff. How has all of those changes kind of been so far for you guys?
You know, they've been all right. Paul Ellen, our longtime, for 30 years, Paul anchored the Tiger Tailgate Show and post-game show, halftime coverage, and he was, I guess you could say, forced due to health reasons. Mm-hmm. And we hope to have Paul with us on a tailgate show sometime within the next month, like sometime before the homestand is over, maybe even next week against Arkansas, to hear from him. Paul was actually at the tailgate show last Saturday, was able to join us for a little while off the air and just talk, and it was great to see him and his wife, Pam. And but because of that, like, this was going to be his last year anyway with us. We knew that going in, but he had to, you know, he had to call in that retirement a little bit early. So, yeah, we're doing our best to fill those shoes, and brought in Jeff Shearer to handle post-game interviews since I'm now anchoring post-game coverage. And Jeff, of course, has relationships with the players and the coaches, and they know him and trust him. And so it's been great. We've also added an Auburn student, Faith Richardson, who has some Eagle Eye and some WSFA experience in Montgomery. She's handling pregame player interviews for us as well on the countdown to kickoff. So several additions and differences or changes in the broadcast. And so far, so good, you know, for a transition type of year.
Well, everything sounds phenomenal, and of course, everybody here locally can hear that over on Wings 94.3, which is the flagship station for Auburn football and everything happening. You guys go live for the Tiger Tailgate Show 3 hours before kickoff. That follows our game day on Wings show. You guys take them all the way up to kickoff and through the post game as well. So I appreciate you sharing all that information, Brad, with everything going on with the Auburn Sports Network, and now we've pushed it off long enough. Let's talk about what happened a week ago and how we can change that going into this week. Just your overall thoughts. Won't go super deep on it since it is Thursday and we have turned the page to this coming up week, but your just quick overall thoughts from a week ago.
Yeah, an anomaly of a game. Peyton Thorne's never had more than two interceptions in a game, and he had four. And they weren't all his fault, but he's had much better games. Maybe all of them have been better. From a decision-making standpoint, it's game two with a new offense, and all the parts aren't clicking like you want them to. And we all want them to, and everybody's, you know, dumbfounded. I think there are plenty of good things to take away from the defensive performance in that game. But, you know, you lose a right tackle for a period of time. You have to do some moving around there. And, you know, now you go into a game where all eyes are going to be on the quarterback, and hopefully the energy in the stadium is positive, regardless of who goes out there. I do not fall into the camp that thinks Peyton Thorne ought to quit football and go live in a cave by himself for the next 50 years. I mean, it seems like if you say anything other than that, then you're just, you know, you're being unrealistic. And I don't buy into that. I think that if you're an Auburn fan, then when the starting quarterback for the Auburn Tigers takes the field or comes off the field, you ought to be encouraging and supportive. I guess I'm starting a different answer there. In terms of last week's game, nothing we have seen in the last couple of years. And I don't think that that's representative of what the standard is going forward. And obviously, they've worked all week long to try to correct those mistakes.
Well, you were starting to allude to what everybody has been talking about this week, which is the quarterback situation. But you bring up the offensive line, which I'll admit I haven't talked about enough this week because, you're going to see different faces shuffling through there due to injury and possibly trying to just get a better performance for the offensive line, which is something Hugh Freeze talked about did have a negative effect on Peyton Thorne's performance last week, Brad.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought it was a little more offensive line earlier in the week than as I've thought about it. I mean, there's, you know, you don't realistically expect a tackle to hold a defensive end or a linebacker for 6 seconds or 5 seconds. Like, 3 seconds, the ball needs to be out. And so, and there's been a lot of analysis on decision-making, and the coaches have talked about it. And, you know, I think it's a little less on the offensive line today than I thought maybe on Sunday. But you're going to have an adjustment this week. I think you could see two or three different starters than what we saw the first couple of weeks. Like, I think it's realistic to see Braden Joyner or Tate Johnson at left guard, Dylan Wade at right tackle. Perhaps Percy starts at left tackle, Percy and Tyler at left tackle, or maybe right. You could also see Dylan Wade at left tackle, where he played last year. He was the starter there last season. So, you are going to have some shifting either way. And I don't think New Mexico's defensive ends, their edge rushers, have the same level of pop and talent that Cal's did. But it is still they're still moving parts. And it'll be an adjustment and an incredibly important one for this offense. It kind of starts there.
And one thing I've talked about is, and I think a lot of fans feel this way, is getting back to the run game a little bit, which Auburn seemed to, I don't want to say abandon early in the game. They just didn't call upon it until in that second half where we know this, Brad. It's one of the most talented running back rooms in the SEC with Jarquez Hunter, Damari Alston, and Jeremiah Cobb, which a lot of that does still rely on offensive line play.
Yep, it does, and I'm very curious to see, kind of the default statement is, well, you got to run the ball more, run it more. Well, this is an RPO offense that's predicated on what look the defense is giving you. And if the defense is giving you a look, if the defense is stacking the box and they're loading up and putting eight people in the box, you don't run into that. That's not smart. You don't run on third and eight. So positive first down plays, and that's what Cal did in the first half. And Auburn wasn't able to do in the first half last week. Positive first down plays, running or passing, can change the way a defense plays you. It can change your outlook on a play call. It's so much more complex than just, well, they ought to give a guy more carries. I think that Auburn ran the ball effectively last week. Jarquez Hunter has been like a 5 yard or more per carry guy since he got to campus. I think that makes sense. But again, do the situations dictate it? Do the defensive looks from New Mexico dictate it? Or should Auburn be able to run the ball? If you want to take a little off the quarterback's plate, does it make sense then to just decidedly run the ball more, regardless of what looks the defense has given you, and say, New Mexico's given up 48 points a game through its first two ball games. We ought to be able to run the ball against them.
Which gets into the whole, offensive package conversation that Hugh Freeze has brought up and people have taken and ran with, of course. And all of that is TBD, right? I mean, it's to be determined what we see on Saturday, given a game plan, play calling, and who's on the field at one time, as we're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Looking to the game this Saturday, it's known by most that the defensive numbers for New Mexico are not good. Auburn should be able to do what they want to do if execution is what it is, where it needs to be. So I ask you this, Brad. What does a successful day look like for Auburn on Saturday? I guess a successful night for Auburn on Saturday against New Mexico before SEC play opens up next week.
Either explosive plays, like we saw against Alabama A&M. They had like 10 explosive plays on offense. Explosive plays are a reasonable excuse for short drives. Or drives that are like six plays or more, where you pick up a couple of first downs, and then you score points. You want your offense to look like an efficient, modern offense, like what they want it to look like. I don't think they want, of course, they want to run the game, or they want to win the game, however you do it. If that's running 50 times, great. But I don't think they want the identity to be that. I think they want to stretch the field. They want to throw the ball downfield, utilize these receivers as weapons as they continue to get comfortable in the offense. So, I think some combination of explosive plays. I'd love to see a half a dozen or more explosive plays in this game. And then when you're not hitting the explosive plays, be able to convert. Be able to take on third and three, take the five-yard pass in the flat. On fourth down and two, you may not need the long ball on fourth and two. Maybe the tight end breaks open and you can hit him, or the running back in the flat. I think you want whoever the quarterback is to make quick decisions, be decisive and authoritative, to know what all his options are as he runs the offense. And I think that's what they've been working on all week long. I think defensively, New Mexico can score points. They've scored 70 total points in their first two games. Mm-hmm. And they have a good, fast quarterback in Devin Dampier. They're likely going to score some points. Just don't give them short fields. Make them earn every first down that they get.
Auburn under the lights against New Mexico. Pregame for the Auburn Sports Network will begin at 3:30 on Saturday. Kickoff at 6:30. All of that over on Wings 94.3. Want to switch gears on you real quick, Brad, before we let you go, because we got some other Auburn news today. An SEC baseball schedule has dropped for the Tigers, opening up with Vanderbilt at home on March 14th that weekend. I'll read it through very quickly for our listeners. Vanderbilt at home March 14th. 13th through the 16th. Then going by the weekends, Kentucky on the road, Georgia on the road, home for Bama, home for LSU. Get to make a fun trip to Austin, Texas, the weekend of April 17th through the 19th. Come back for Mississippi State at home, trip to Knoxville, home for South Carolina, and the season finale is in Oxford at Ole Miss. Your thoughts about the SEC baseball schedule for Auburn in 24 and 25?
Well, like every year, it's like American Ninja Warrior. It's just one obstacle and then another one and then another one. And you've got to be fit to make it through and agile and fast and strong. And that's how you have to be in the SEC. I like that it starts at home. Glad to be at home for Vanderbilt here. Auburn started the conference season in Nashville a year ago. Started it 2 years ago at Arkansas. So it's nice to have a home series to start it off. You know, Georgia without Charlie Condon, what are they going to be? Is Kentucky going to have the kind of year they had last year where they were at the top of the league standings? I like Alabama not being the weekend after, like, final exams. Yeah. I like that a lot, the first weekend in April. I like Alabama and LSU back-to-back at home in the middle of the conference slate. And then alternating road and home series the back half of the schedule. All these teams are going to be talented. You know, you got to go to Texas and Jim Schlossnagel in his first season there. You know, who knows what Mississippi State's going to bring in? Who knows what South Carolina is going to bring in? Knoxville's always tough, and Ole Miss has kind of been up and down the last few years. I think every SEC schedule is challenging, and so, man, just line them up and take them as they come.
Yeah, I mean, there's no weeks off in the SEC for any sport now. I mean, with the expansion that we've seen and how teams, especially on the baseball, softball side of things, because we got the softball schedule too. I mean, it's just, it's insane to think about. You're playing national championship level competition almost every week on the diamond, whether it's baseball, softball, and it's tough, but it makes it so much fun for fans, for broadcasters, for anybody that's involved. And so, not wishing away football, not wishing away basketball, but baseball season around the corner. Auburn will open up SEC play at home against Vanderbilt on March 14th. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is with me every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. Plug all one more time, Brad. Tell people where they can find the broadcast, how they can listen, and what they can expect to hear on Saturday afternoon and Saturday night.
Wings 94.3, that's the place to be. And of course, you know, you want to tune in to Wings 2 hours before our broadcast starts. You want to tune in at 1:30.
Yes.
For the warm-up show.
That's right.
And then at 3:30, we got the Tiger Tailgate Show. The Homecoming Court is on Saturday. That's always a tradition on our broadcast. And then we got former players Jeff Berger, Spence McCracken, Ron Stallworth joining us. Nick Kleinard, men's golf national championship coach, will be on the show too.
Nice.
Plus Andy Burcham, Jason Campbell, Ronnie Brown. It's another loaded Saturday, and we hope people will tune in.
We appreciate you guys. You do a wonderful job, and the partnership growing by the day. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. You guys have a fantastic broadcast this weekend, and we'll have you on again next week.
Thanks, Jacob. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Check him out. Social media, everything that the Auburn Sports Network has going on. And yes, as he mentioned, our coverage over on Wings 94.3 starts 5 hours before kickoff. That will be game day on Wings 94.3. Uncle T-Bone, Jumpin' Jack Cutton, those guys will get going at 1:30, 2 hour show, get you into the Auburn Sports Network at 3:30, and they'll take you all the way up to kickoff at 6:30 on Wings 94.3. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one. And a reminder, head coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School Football joins us at 3 o'clock to start hour number two. That's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us every Thursday here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Always a fun time talking with him and getting his thoughts on what happened a week ago, what he thinks could happen this week, and then, of course, plugging everything from the Auburn Sports Network. And how about that Auburn SEC baseball schedule, huh? How about that? It's insane. And everybody says this, and it's true, so eventually maybe we'll quit saying it. I don't know. But there are just no games off, man. There's no weekends where you can just you can't breathe in the SEC. It's insane, man. Vanderbilt. Here are the home series that Auburn has. Vanderbilt, Alabama, LSU, Mississippi State, and South Carolina. Not bad, right? Not bad. Auburn on the road, on the other hand, not so great. All right, Kentucky, Georgia, that's okay. That's okay. But you got to go to Austin, Texas to take on the Longhorns. You got to go to Knoxville to take on Tennessee. And you got to go to Oxford to take on Ole Miss, which who knows what Oxford, or who knows what Ole Miss is going to be this year. So it's awesome. It's a great schedule and looking forward to having Auburn baseball back on the airwaves. And again, that won't be until March. So that's at least SEC play. The season obviously starts before then, but that is when SEC play begins. So thanks again to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Reminder, Coach Keith Etheridge joins us coming up to start hour number two. We'll talk to him about Auburn High School taking down Opelika last week. And now they're getting ready to head down to Enterprise to have a top five matchup in the state of Alabama. How about that, man? Really looking forward to that. Got a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Says the Aaron Murray YouTube video is eye-opening to see all the wide receivers that are open on multiple plays. Question is, how do you not bench Thorne after watching that? Here's a good question. Here's a the most hypothetical question that we will never, ever, ever get the answer to. Do we think Hugh Freeze watched the Aaron Murray video? Do we think Hugh Freeze found out that he knows the video exists? Aaron Murray's been on every radio station just about in the state of Alabama this week. Do we think Hugh Freeze, he doesn't need Aaron Murray to break it down for him, because I would hope that Hugh Freeze is good enough to do that himself. But Murray brought a really unique perspective as a former SEC quarterback, and his commentary was great as of, ball needs to be out now. It should have been out now. Okay, now it's too late. And now you threw an interception. Like, Aaron Murray gave really good commentary on that. And if you have not seen that, go watch it. Literally just go to YouTube and type in Aaron Murray Auburn. It will pop up, I promise. Aaron Murray, Peyton Thorne, whatever you need to do, it will pop up. It's about 25 minutes of your life, but it does open your eyes a little bit, as we just learned from our text box. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you. When you watch this game and you watch the film and you watch it broken down, which Hugh Freeze and his staff probably did this on their own, and they sat with Peyton Thorne and Hank Brown to go through it. They talked to Peyton Thorne of like, what were you thinking here? Why did you do this? Why did you not do this? And with Hank Brown, it was, what would you do here? What would you have done here? Why would you have done that, right? I agree. I think it'd be very hard to look at the evidence, to look at literal film and say, I can't go with you now because of what happened. That this is unacceptable. Which is why I think he may give Peyton a chance. Maybe. We'll see. But I don't know. I'm with you, though. I'm with you. It's tough. It really, really is tough. If you see it on film, in a game, pure evidence with your own two eyes, it'd be hard to put that man back on the field. I'm just saying. All right, that does it for hour number one. Stick around. Hour number two coming up. Coach Etheridge, Auburn High School's head football coach, he's with us to start hour number two. So stick around. We've got that coming up.
An Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find the show posted in a podcast form on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We'll have that for you after the show today. We talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Also, just gave some more of my thoughts on what Auburn needs to do moving forward, not just this Saturday, but just in the Hugh Freeze era in general. So lots of that in hour number one. Go check that out after the show today. Here in hour number two, as we told you, we're going to have Chris Gordy from the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll be with us in about 30 minutes, but we get to the phone lines now because this guy joins us every single Thursday at this time. He is the head football coach of Auburn High School. He joins us, Keith Etheridge, on the phone lines. Coach, how are you, man? Happy Thursday, brother.
Happy Thursday, Jacob, man. Excited, ready to get this game going tomorrow.
That's right. Well, I'm sure you're the same way, and I'm sure your guys are this way, but as the broadcaster, man, when the calendar hits Monday, I'm just itching for Friday. I cannot wait. Friday can't get here soon enough, and when you have games like we did last week, man, it makes you want to get out there almost every day.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's a great football game, great atmosphere, you know. Just one of those Friday nights that, you know, you look forward to as a high school coach, as a high school fan, high school football player, cheerleader, band member, everything. It was a great atmosphere last week.
Well, it was a great atmosphere. It was a great football game. And for us, Coach, it was a great result as you guys pulled out a close victory down to the wire. You guys beat Opelika by a touchdown. The Dogs were driving down the field. It came up with a defensive play by a linebacker who jumped up, blocked it, intercepted it. I mean, what a crazy play that was to beat Opelika there at home at the Duck.
Yeah, Alex Gampson made a great play. We did a really good job of pushing the quarterback up in the pocket right there. And, you know, he pushed up in the pocket, went to make the throw, and Gampson, Alex tipped it up and jumped up and picked it off, made a great play. You know, and I told our kids before that game, you know, in these rivalry games, you know, there's going to be three or four plays that make the difference in the game. And, you know, that was just one of those three or four plays that made the difference. You know, last year we had the screen on fourth down that we converted to win the game. So, you know, it's just a great football game. And, you know, Alex made a great play right there. And you're super proud of him because he's a great young man and works extremely hard.
Well, this senior class for you guys is now 4-0 against Opelika. It was the eighth straight win over the Bulldogs in a series that was almost even. Auburn and I had the advantage by one game, now the advantage over two games. And as you and I were talking earlier this morning, Coach, not only is it a win over your rival, but your guys are now 1-0 in region play, and that cannot be overstated.
No, that's huge for us, you know. This region is so tough that you don't want to get off to a 0-1 start, you know, getting that first win under your belt against a really good Opelika team. It was huge for us. You know, there's six teams in this region that are playoff type teams. And, you know, if you're going to make the playoffs out of this region, you're going to be really, really good.
And there's just so many good teams. We were talking before you got on about SEC schedules and all the different sports on the college side, but it feels like we say the same thing about Region 2 and 7A, where there's just hardly ever a week off, where you play Opelika this week at Enterprise, road games at Central, Dothan coming to town. I mean, it's never ending in this region.
Yeah, it is. You know, Carver, Montgomery.
Yeah.
Carver. So, I mean, you know, a lot of tough games, you know, left on our schedule. One, you know, Friday is going to be huge for us. I mean, another region game. So, and against the top five team, you know, last year, two top 10 teams getting together, you know, Enterprise played Dothan, which was two top 10 teams. So, You know, it's just a lot of great football going on in this region.
Well, you mentioned it. Tomorrow night, you guys, Auburn High School, on the road at Enterprise. First road game of the year this season, Coach, and had three straight home games at the Duck, which is such a blessing for everybody that's involved. And now you get take a long trip down to Enterprise. What can you tell us about that team who, as you said, they're top five in the state?
Oh, yeah. They got a great football team. You know, Ben's done a good job down there, Coach Blackman. They've got, you know, SEC type player. I think, you know, they got a DN that's going to Ohio State. They got a linebacker safety that's going to Auburn in the Winters kid, and then the Pearsall kid's corner is going to Kentucky. So, you know, and they got some other great players. You know, it's not just those guys. It's other guys that they have too. So, you know, just some really good football players, and we're gonna have to, you know, play a really good football game to go down there and get a win. It's tough to win on the road in this region.
Absolutely. And right now it looks like weather could be a factor. We thought it was definitely going to be a factor last week against Opelika. Ended up not being all that bad. So maybe this is payback, Coach. Maybe since we dodged the bullet last week, they're going to come back and get us. Mother Nature is this week, huh?
Nah, I think we'll be all right. I think that hopefully it'll all be out of here by the end. But you never know. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to play through that stuff, and you know, we're gonna go down there and see what happens. You know, if it rains, just got to play in the rain. You know.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And good news is you have a guy in the backfield that if it is raining, you can turn and hand it to him pretty much all night long. Omar Mapson continuing to do Omar Mapson things. He's got 9 touchdowns now through 3 games, he's over-reliable for you guys.
Yeah, and we knew that coming into the year. Omar's special. You know, he's a young man that does all the little things right, and, you know, he takes care of the football. He runs the ball hard. He can run for power. He can run for speed. You know, he's got great agility. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He's a 4.0 student. You know, crap. He could probably whip you up something to eat in the kitchen. You know, he does about everything. You know, so it's always good having a young man like him, and a great leader. You know, and you got Jackson back there, Kilgore, too, who's playing really well right now. Charlie Ward's another kid who will get carries. He's had a touchdown in every game we played. So, you know, we got some weapons, and, you know, our receivers are playing great right now, too.
Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge joining us here on ESPN 106.7, a weekly guest throughout the football season. Tigers are 3-0 overall this season, 1-0 in region play, thanks to a win over Opelika last week on the road at Enterprise this week. And to go back to that Opelika game for a second, so much talk going in, Coach, was about your offensive line versus their uber-talented defensive line. How do you feel your guys performed a week ago up front where we know it's won and lost in the trenches?
Yeah. I think our guys played great. You know, Hugh Botterford, you know, our center, had a really good game. Clem Walmack is a guy that's been solid for us the last 2 years. You know, just a really good football player. Aiden Platt had a great game, very athletic, 300-pounder, 6'4", 300-pounder. You know, Trenton Pritchett is a kid that's got multiple D1 offers, who plays tackle for us. Who's a junior? He had a really good game, and you know, we also had some younger guys who played really good. You know, I think that we're going to get better and better up there. I think that those guys are starting to gel really good. I think that you know, it's one of those things where as long as we continue to get better and continue to gel, and you know, I think that. The younger guys are getting better, and those three seniors are doing a great job of leading up there.
And there's no way to hide it, Coach. No way to get around it. Top 5 matchup in the state of Alabama going on tomorrow night. Everybody will be tuned in, wanting to know the score, wanting to have updates, and then eventually who comes out on top. I mean, how do you present something like this to your team, which they know it's a big matchup. Everybody does. So how do you present this to them and get them ready to stay locked in, stay focused, and execute the way they're supposed to?
Well, we got guys that do a great job of leading, you know, on and off the field. I mean, you talk about great players like LaMichael Gunn, one of our corners. He's going to Liberty. He's had a really good season so far, and I think that he's going to be a guy that can make some plays for us tomorrow. You got Caleb Pitts, the defensive end, who's playing really good. He's an App State commit. We got guys who lead. You know, so these kids understand that. You know, it's one game at a time. The next game's the most important. You know, this is a big region game for us. We're going on the road for the first time this year. So I love to, think we're going to go there and we're going to handle that atmosphere really well and, you know, play really well. We got to, you know, just not turn the ball over and, you know, take care of the ball, take care of, you know, what we do, which is, you know, we got to play with our hearts and our head and just get after them tomorrow.
Auburn High trying to avenge a loss a year ago against Enterprise, looking to stay undefeated this year and go stay undefeated in region play as well. Tigers on the road taking on Enterprise tomorrow night. Auburn High and head coach Keith Etheridge, man, always appreciate your time. Safe travels to you and the entire team and coaching staff tomorrow. Well, let's go take care of business, man.
Sounds good, man. We appreciate y'all. Want all the Tiger fans to get on the road. Come on down there to Enterprise and watch a great football game. You know, let's get this win and go Tigers.
Yes, sir. Go Tigers. Thanks so much for your time. That's head coach Keith Etheridge. He joins me every Thursday to start hour number two here on ESPN 106.7. You can catch the radio broadcast of Auburn High School football tomorrow night. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Cutton, the whole crew going to be down at Enterprise, taking the two and a half hours. I think that's what we ended up, you know, kind of calculating. You got stops and traffic and things like that. So you can listen to us tomorrow night over on Wings 94.3. That's wingsfm.com or the Radio Alabama app. Pregame starts at 6:30. We'll have another interview with head coach Keith Etheridge. He joins us in the pregame show as well. Also, our keys to the game. Jack does a really good job of giving a kind of a scoreboard update and a matchup update, right, of what's happening around the state. And then kickoff is at 7 tomorrow night on Wings 94.3. Top 5 game in the state, man. It's insane. I'm pumped. I cannot wait to get down there and get set up. I pray that the weather does hold off, or if it's going to come, get in there and get out type of thing, ready for a really, really good game, because that region's going to be tight all the way through. As Coach was saying, you've got Central, you've got Auburn, you've got Carver, you have Enterprise, you have Dothan, you have Opelika that's still going to be there at the very end. I mean, it's no joke in 7A football. I think it's the hardest region in the state. I think it could be up there as one of the toughest regions in the entire country of high school football. So, again, pregame 6:30. Kickoff at 7 tomorrow night on Wings FM and wingsfm.com. That's Wings 94.3 over next door for us, sister station here at ESPN 106.7. And also, we have at Lee Scott Academy football going on tomorrow night as well, as the Warriors are back home for just a second time this year. They're 1-0 in region play after they went up and took care of business against Childersburg, put it on them in a dominant fashion by the end of it. They're back home as they're 1-0 in region play, making history their first region win in the AHSAA. They host the Bobcats of Beulah tomorrow over at Judd Scott Field. You can listen to Christian Griffin and Rhett Chrome. They'll be on the air pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on AU100. That's 100.3 on your radio dial, AU100FM.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Reminder, Christian is in here tomorrow in the studio filling in for me. Him and Uncle T-Bone will have on-the-line duties, so be sure you tune in for a free-for-all Friday edition of the show with Christian and Uncle T-Bone. Let's get to our first break here in hour number two. Phone lines are open for a few minutes. Give me a call. What's on your mind? How you feeling on this Thursday? Would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. This is your time to get in on the show, is right now. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And want to remind you before we get to break that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you, and you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. We appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN. Back after this on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You
are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Again, appreciate everybody being with us on this Thursday. Thanks to Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, for joining us as he does every single week. He's awesome. And I say it every week. He's fantastic, man. If you want to know something, he'll tell you. And it's awesome. He is fantastic. So, again, Auburn High is going on the road to Enterprise tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And, again, you can catch that over on Wings 94.3. Well, we continue talking a little Auburn football and really SEC football because Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC is coming up with us in just a few minutes. The daily SEC podcast, right? And I just have a feeling. I have a feeling that Chris Gordy has some things to say today. I think he's going to have an opinion on a lot of different SEC teams, on a lot of different SEC results from last week and games that are coming up this week. Because when you look at just what's happening in this conference, how confident do we feel as SEC fans, right? If we all... Let's all unify for a second here. Let's all unify and come together as SEC fans. Where do we put the conference in a power ranking as of right now compared to the other conferences in college football? And I know, right, I know we're only, what, two games in? Some teams have only played one game because they had a bye week already, which that's insane to me, but... It is what it is, I guess. But where do you put the Southeastern Conference? Because I don't know if it's all that great. The top is extremely top-heavy. The top is better than any other conference can offer, right? Texas, Georgia, even Alabama, for now. I personally don't think Alabama's the fourth best team in college football. I don't think that's a hot take either, but here we are. But what has the SEC really done to earn the respect at least this year early in the season? Early in the 2024 campaign, yes, there are a lot of teams ranked in the top 15. Right, you have Georgia at 1. You have Texas at 2. Ole Miss at 5. Missouri at 6. Tennessee at 7. And then you have Oklahoma at 15. I mean, you have six teams in the top 15. You have seven teams in the top 15. You have six of those in the top 10. Do we really think that by the end of the season, all of that's still going to remain true? Georgia will be up there, sure. Texas, given what they've done in 2 weeks, they've earned the respect. Georgia has earned the respect. But Alabama hasn't done anything yet. Missouri hasn't done anything yet. Tennessee, I mean, not really. NC State's not a good football team. Just look at what they did in week one. And a blowout win for Tennessee doesn't show me anything. And guess what? We're not going to learn anything this week either. They play can't read, can't write Kent State. Okay? We're not going to know anything about them. So Tennessee, we're not going to learn anything until they go on the road to Oklahoma next week, which is awesome, by the way. So I just don't know. I mean, the conference is getting a ton of love, but why? Because of the teams? Because of the conference itself? Like, have you looked at the updated conference standings? Do you know who's the top team in the SEC right now? It's the Gamecocks of South Carolina, because they're the only team with a conference win. They're 1-0 after their demolishing of Kentucky. And you have LSU, who's ranked 2. They're 16th. Don't forget about them. Don't forget about the Tigers. I don't know. And this may be a dumb argument that I'm trying to make here, but I think Georgia's earned it. I think Texas has earned it. Other than that, Ole Miss has 2 blowout wins over crap teams. Tennessee has 2 wins over okay teams. Oklahoma has struggled in both of their 2 games. LSU lost, right? They blew it against USC. So I don't know. And it's so early, too. It's so early in this college football season. And we're going to find out a few things this weekend in particular about the SEC and about some of the teams in this conference. And again, we're going to talk to all about this with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC coming up in just a little bit. We're going to learn some things about Alabama this weekend. We're going to learn a little bit about LSU this weekend on the road in Columbia. We may learn more about South Carolina. Was their demolishing of Kentucky legit? Or is Kentucky just that bad and Stoops is on his way out the door? We'll learn something about Missouri. I don't know how much of a test Boston College is, but they're a top 25 team, so watch out. I know they're 2-0, but we'll see, right? And if Boston College ends up being a good team, then we'll learn something about Missouri. I'd love to see Oklahoma just for an SEC perspective. Again, we have our blue and yellow hats on, ladies and gentlemen. We have our blue and yellow hats on. Not our blue and orange, not our red or crimson and white, not our red and black, none of those. Nope. We have our SEC hats on. I'd like to see Oklahoma take care of Tulane and bounce back and be a good football team. For Auburn's sake, no, but for the SEC, yeah. And in the game of the week, I think, within the conference, Texas A&M and Florida. I've mentioned this game several times. I can't get away from it. It may not be pretty. It may be gross, disgusting, vile, whatever word you want to use in there, whatever adjective you want to use. But we're going to learn one thing about each team. We're going to learn if one team is legit, and we're going to learn if one team is not. Is it possible that we learn both teams are abysmal? Could be. Yeah. If we have a 17-13 game in Gainesville, then, yeah, that's probably the direction we go. Is, all right, Florida's exactly what we thought they were. And Texas A&M, we hyped them up too much, as we always do. Arkansas, I think they'll handle UAB. That's a UAB team that just isn't as good as they used to be. Ole Miss, they should take care of business at Wake Forest. Georgia's going to demolish Kentucky. And other than that, the only other team as an SEC fan that we're going to keep an eye on is Auburn, because there's a lot of SEC fans and fans of other SEC teams that will be tuned in on Saturday night. They will be watching Auburn and New Mexico on ESPN2. They should be listening on Wings 94.3, but we won't hold that against them. They're going to tune in and see if Auburn can figure it out. Because, sure, as much as we want them to figure it out, and as much as we're curious about it, so is everybody else. They may not want it to work out as much as we do, but they at least want to see what happens. They at least want to see what happens. The train's coming down the tracks, and there's some people tied down to it about 100 yards out. Everybody wants to figure out if they can get them off or not. That's what's happening here. Because either Auburn's going to figure it out and ride into glory and have a really good season, or they're going to hit a wall. And everybody's going to go into panic mode, and rightfully so. So don't overlook this weekend. But the SEC, while they're getting a lot of love now, we're going to find out some things this weekend, and I can't wait. I can't wait for some of these games. I'll give you some of my predictions because, again, I'm not here tomorrow. I think Alabama wins. It may not be pretty, but I think they win. I don't like the 16-point spread. I think they'll cover that, but I don't know. I'm not going to touch it. I think LSU wins, but my goodness, if South Carolina figures out a way, how wrong were we about the Gamecocks? Everybody, myself included, wrote that team off to start the year. Missouri, I think they roll. I think they hang 50 on Boston College if they want to. I think Oklahoma will bounce back against Tulane, but it won't look good. I'm going to take, and this may be crazy. Man, this may be crazy. I'm going to take the freshman. I'm going to take Lagway and Florida to beat Texas A&M Saturday afternoon, 2:30 on ABC. Give me the Gators to win that game. I'll take Arkansas over UAB. Ole Miss will put 1,000 on Wake Forest. Texas win. Vandy, Oh, I don't know. At Georgia State, I'll take Vanderbilt, though. Georgia wipes the floor. State wins against Toledo, and Tennessee beats Kent State. Guess you'll have to wait on my pick for Auburn and New Mexico, huh? We'll talk to Chris Gordy about all these games and a whole lot more. He's the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He joins us coming up after this.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and joining us as he's walking out of a baseball stadium, we got Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC. Did the Astros win, Chris? Are you in an okay mood now?
They did win. They avoided the sweep at the hands of the Oakland A's. So, you know. It's that time of year where we got like less than 3 weeks left in the season and trying to figure out standings and all that kind of stuff. It sucks. Like I wish baseball could get started just a few weeks earlier and it wouldn't interfere with football season. Cause it really is like, we get to this point of the year and it's like, I get there's diehard Braves fans and all that, but it's like, we're really focused on college football at this point of the year.
Yeah, and, you know, we have limited segments on the show throughout the week about baseball and about the Braves. But, I mean, like this week, it was so hard to talk about baseball given what happened on Saturday for college football. Like, it is hard to squeeze it in, and you know that. You're in this business, too.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's so interesting is, you know, I was talking with Barrett Sully on our show today, and, you know, there's been an upset in the SEC each week so far, and I asked Barrett, I said, which one's going to be the upset this week? And he said, you know, potentially, maybe Alabama, Wisconsin, maybe LSU at South Carolina. So it'll be very interesting to see who's on upset alert this week. Did not think the Auburn Tigers would be on upset alert a week ago, but alas, they were.
Notice how I didn't ask you about them. You just brought that up on your own, Chris. Did you? I noticed that. I noticed how you did that. And I was going to ask, go ahead, get your thoughts out there. Let us know what you think about what the heck happened a week ago for Auburn against California.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, I go back to Hugh Freeze put all his eggs in the basket of Peyton Thorne, and it was ugly. I mean, he was awful last week. And I know a lot of people come back to, oh, well, you know, that Jonquest Hunter fumbled, and the O-line did this and that. Okay, all that's fine. At the end of the day, your quarterback threw four interceptions. So we can place blame wherever it needs to go. At the end of the day, he's got to perform better. And that was absolutely putrid, and I just think it's an absolute travesty that they didn't try to add another quarterback to the transfer portal, you know, in the last year or so. And, you know, a lot of people I've talked to have said, why not give Hank Brown an opportunity this weekend, whether it's, you know, you start Thorne, but you have a short leash on him. Whether it's, you know, you start Thorne the first half and then you give Hank Brown the second half, whatever it is, this is the week to do it because, you know, you only got a couple of weeks here. And you know, the schedule's about to ramp up and get a lot tougher. And you're not going to have an opportunity down the road to do it. So this is the week. If you're going to try Hank Brown, go ahead and try him this week.
Yeah, after this week for Auburn, it's Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Georgia. So not really the time to be getting a new quarterback into the system and trying to get him comfortable. And look, most Auburn fans, you know this, you've seen it, you've had guys on your show this week about they are in the Hank Brown hype train now. It's get Peyton out and put Hank Brown in. I mean, do you have a prediction or what you think could happen? I know you're not Auburn-based, you're SEC, but do you have any idea or what you think could happen Saturday?
Well, I thought Hugh's quote the other day was, you know, when he said, what, the short leash? I thought that was pretty telling because, you know, I think the opportunity is there. Look, this is New Mexico, and I had to declare it a few times this week. It's not New Mexico State. It's a different school. But, like, this is the opportunity to let Peyton Thorne get some confidence back. I get it. But it's a fine balance between that and let's see what Hank Brown is. I mean, I've got a lot of comments on our YouTube videos this week from fans, Auburn fans, saying, like, look, we saw a little bit of him in the bowl game. Like, we'd like to see a little bit more Hank Brown. And so, again, to me, this is the opportunity, whether you play him in the second half, whatever it is, get him in there, get him some reps. Because, again, like the schedule's about to ramp up here. You're not going to have many more opportunities to get him the ball. So I think we see Hank Brown. I don't think he starts. I think Thorne starts, but I think we see both guys on Saturday.
Tons of results to get quick rapid-fire reactions from you, Chris, from a week ago before we look into what's another fascinating week of SEC football. Texas went up to the Big House and did what everybody predicted that they would do. They dominated. Alabama pulled away from South Florida a week ago. Tennessee dominates NC State. Oklahoma still struggling out of the gates for whatever reason. And Arkansas dropped another one. Sam Pittman had a chance to save his job and couldn't do it, even in double overtime against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I take it as a positive from Arkansas. I know they blew the game, and they absolutely should have won that game. You got a 21-7 halftime lead on the road at Oklahoma State. They did everything they could to give that game away. I mean, fumbling a punt return. JaQuindon Jackson had a big fumble. I mean, they should have won that game. They didn't. But I come away as a positive for Arkansas and say, look, we're pretty damn good. I mean, this offense it ranks among the top three in the SEC currently. Like, I feel pretty good if I'm Sam Pittman and Bobby Petrino as we get closer to SEC play, saying, look, we're going to be a problem for people, and we're going to beat somebody we're not supposed to this year. So I feel good about that. You know, on the flip side, Alabama, God, did they look awful for three quarters. I mean, I was talking with somebody this week that said, are they going to let Jalen Milroe loose? Like, it feels like he's still – like, this whole thought of Nick Sheridan and Kalen DeBoer, like, having offensive-minded coaches, like, oh, they're going to let Jalen Miller, it's going to get loose. He's going to win a Heisman. And, God, does he look indecisive out there. I'm like, yeah, let him just go be him. And, obviously, the run game got shut down for three quarters. Now, it's so funny, because in the fourth quarter, when the game's in hand, they start running the ball, and it's, you know, long touchdown run here, long touchdown run there. And the final box score and the stats, you look at it and go, man, Alabama must have dominated that game. No. It was not that case for three quarters. So, you know, Bama, I don't know, man. I'm a little bit worried about them going up to Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin's not very good. Ron Dane's not walking through that door. But I think if they're in a close game at halftime, they might be in trouble up there in a hostile environment up in Wisconsin. So we'll see on them. But I feel pretty good about Arkansas moving forward. And, you know, we'll see with the rest of the conference. I think, I think LSU's in trouble this week going at South Carolina. LSU, if you had told me before the season, 2 weeks in, LSU would be dead last in the conference and rushing the football, I would have said you're crazy. With Josh Williams back, with Caleb Jackson, like, I just never would have thought that they would be absolutely putrid at running the football with that offensive line that they've got. So, and the good news is they're one of two teams in the SEC that's not given up a sack yet. LSU and Missouri have not allowed a sack. So, you know, they got that going for them. LSU's really good in pass protection. They're just absolutely putrid in run blocking. So we'll see how this game plays out in South Carolina. It's supposed to be rainy, and obviously when it's a rainy and windy game, the recipe for win there is running the football. So we'll see if South Carolina can slow them down.
Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us here on the phone lines on ESPN 106.7. Been with us for a long time here during On the Line, and we always appreciate him and his conversation. And before you came on, I was talking about how we're going to learn a lot about a lot of teams this week in the SEC. You mentioned Bama, Wisconsin, LSU, South Carolina. I mean, what happens if Boston College goes in and can handle the line of scrimmage with Missouri, and then Texas A&M and Florida, a battle of what could be two ugly teams, but somebody has to win, right?
Yeah, what's so funny about this game is, you know, Florida does the Mr. Two-Bits every game, you know, before the game. They announce Emmitt Smith is going to be Mr. Two-Bits this week, yet Emmitt Smith's son is the third string running back over at Texas A&M, E.J. Smith.
So, that's right.
I mean, you talk about house divided. Like, I don't know. I guess Emmitt's rooting for the Gators, but no, it's a massive game for both sides. I mean, all the hype that Mike Elko got preseason, they go on the road and lose to a mediocre Florida team. Yeah, that's a tough loss to take your second loss already out of the gates and be 1-2. On the flip side, if you're Florida, this is one you've got to have. You know how tough the schedule is down the road. A&M has not won a road game since 2021. This is a game that you got to win if you're Florida Gators and Billy Napier. And it's so fascinating because the fan base got so hyped up last week. And I said it was going to happen. I said it was some point this season, DJ Lagway was going to get in there. He was going to look awesome, and the fan base was going to go, oh, Wally Pipped. You just got Wally Pipped, Graham Mertz. Time to roll with DJ Lagway. The ceiling is so high for Lagway, and I think so many Florida fans are willing to bite the bullet and say, look, if we go 5-7 with Lagway at quarterback, we'll take that because at least he's going to be exciting. He's got a big arm. You know, he'll go through his growing pains, but we're willing to eat that. As opposed to you go 6-6 with Graham Mertz, we know what his ceiling is. So, look, Billy Napier said they're going to play both guys this week. We'll see how it plays out. But I just feel like T.J. Lagway, the talent is so raw, but it's so good. Five-star talent, number one quarterback in the country in that recruiting class. Like, I just feel like roll with Lagway and take your punches. And if you lose, you lose. But I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how that one plays out. It's, you know, everybody's been hyping up LSU South Carolina, but I've been saying all week that A&M at Florida to me is the SEC game of the week.
Does 5-7 or 6-6 with Lagway as the starter, does that save Billy's job?
I think it does from a standpoint of in this day and age of the transfer portal and NIL, like the future will look bright with Lagway, right? Like fans will be hyped up and they'll be like, all right, you know, here's the thing. They like Billy Napier. Like it's not like Billy Napier is some curmudgeon like Jim McElwain or something. Like he's likable. He just hasn't won enough. But I feel like if you can find some hope and you see some bright spots and him and Lagway, they win a game they're not supposed to, I think the future will be bright and maybe the Florida administration says, let's roll. We'll give you another year and let's see how you work this thing out.
Yeah, well, we'll find out what happens with Florida and Texas A&M this Saturday. I've said all week, I hate that the Georgia-Kentucky game isn't going to be anything, because not that it ever is, but I was just hopeful that it would be, and I think both teams proved that it's probably not going to be close on Saturday night there in Lexington.
Yeah, the more and more people hype that game up and say, oh, Georgia wins big, something tells me Kentucky keeps it somewhat close. You know, like maybe it's a 28-14 win, something like that. Keep in mind, the last few games that have been in Lexington, Mark Stoops' defense has held Georgia in check. Like, I think the last time they went there was a field goal fest. Like, they kept making Georgia settle for field goal, field goal, field goal. On the flip side, I don't think Kentucky's offense could do much. You know, obviously, Brock Vandergriff he was not on the injury report yesterday, so that was kind of surprising. So he's fully healthy and ready to go. And, you know, I was joking with somebody earlier this week. I said, well, who knows the Georgia defense better than Brock Vandergriff, right? He went against them in practice for a couple of years. But this guy said vice versa, you know, on the opposite side. Who knows Brock Vandergriff better than the Georgia defense? So, I don't know, man. I mean, everybody's writing them off already. But keep in mind, we wrote South Carolina off week one after they looked putrid against Old Dominion. And look what they did last week against Kentucky. I think it's the same thing. I don't think Kentucky plays the same. I think they play much more inspired and better football, but I just unfortunately don't think it's enough to beat Georgia. And, you know, maybe a close loss, like I said, 28-14, something like that.
Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, the daily Southeastern Conference podcast. You can find it on YouTube or wherever you get your audio podcast. Have you had a chance to look at the, as we pivot here for just a second, have you had a chance to look at any of the SEC baseball schedules yet, Chris?
I just saw my buddy sent me LSU's earlier. It's absolutely putrid. I mean, they're playing like Omaha and like, I don't know, schools you've never heard of through the first few weeks. So I'm always more of a fan of go play some teams, you know, whether you're getting to these college classics and you're playing some good teams from the Big Ten or the Big 12, like go do that because, gosh, you play some, you know, school from the Midwest that nobody's ever heard of. What do you really learn about your team?
And then we always know just with the Southeastern Conference schedule in general, it's brutal. I mean, Auburn has, you know, home series they have home games with Bama and Vanderbilt, and then they go on the road to Austin, Texas. They end at Ole Miss. I mean, it's miserable in this conference, man.
It is, man. And the schedule is going to be even tougher with Texas and Oklahoma in it now. I think I saw LSU has to go on the road to Texas this year. So
nice.
Yeah, man, it's already a tough SEC schedule is going to get a lot tougher in both basketball, football, softball, all of them.
I'm with you. Chris, we appreciate your time, my man. Plug everything one more time. Tell people where they can find you at Locked On SEC.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, we're on YouTube. And we got that episode up today with Barrett Salee. Really good stuff talking all things SEC. Check it out, Locked On SEC.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you taking it after the baseball game. Have a great weekend. We'll have you on again next week.
Yeah, man, appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You
are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Great show today. I appreciate everybody being with us, being here on ESPN. Thursdays are, they're crazy, man. There's no other way to put it, but they're such good guests, such good content, and I'm glad that you were with us. If you missed any of the show today, you can go and catch it with the podcast. It's just the show posted on our station website every day, okay? We have it there. You can find it at ESPNAU.com. We'll have all of my interviews with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in hour number one, talking Auburn versus Cal from last week, his thoughts going into this weekend for New Mexico. Also, we had Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He was with us as well. We talked about the huge win for Auburn and over Opelika last week as the Baby Tigers heading down to Enterprise. We are going on the road tomorrow. More on that in just a second. And then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. His thoughts on a lot of the games from last week and going into this week. He thinks Arkansas should take a positive out of their loss against Oklahoma State last week. That's very interesting and sounds like Florida going to be playing dual quarterbacks this week against Texas A&M. So we'll see how that goes. We'll wrap up the show in just a second. Looks like we'll get to the phone lines here quickly. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Dak.
What's up, Dak? You got a couple minutes, man. Good to hear from you.
Oh, Lord. I know I had an early practice today. So, yeah, I was really surprised how Thorne had played. I don't know how your callers have been acting all week. I'm assuming they're all pissed off.
No, but you can. Yeah, you can guess.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the little things that really surprised me, like the mistake right before half when he was, down the ball and he fumbled it and he didn't bother downing it again, which cost us 18 seconds. I mean, that was elementary. How could he – and, you know, Coach Freeze didn't touch on that. That was huge because that – we could have got 3 points out of that.
Yeah, and that may have been something Coach found later on in the film session, right? I mean, it may have been something he went through with Peyton one-on-one, but you're right.
Hell, there was so much to go through in that film session.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right about that.
Standing up in the stands, I mean, knowing that we had four guys, Cal knew we had four guys that could run. It was obvious they were not going to get beat deep. I mean, and so therefore, all underneath stuff was open all day, and I could not understand why we wasn't hitting it. He, like on the 4th and 2, and he threw a fade down the sideline. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a slant wide open, nobody on him. But my question to you is, isn't that Hugh Freeze's job at halftime to make adjustments and
I
to
think
tell
so.
Him? Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I just knew when we came back from halftime that we would be throwing everything short and intermediate. But it never changed. It never changed. And that has me concerned. And then the other thing that really we should be concerned about is the fact that we couldn't run the football against a mediocre defense. And that's the biggest concern more than Thorne to me.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And I think that's something that Auburn fans have expressed so far this week. And you know this better than most, my man. You're in the coaching game. You saw it and broke it down yourself. And it is frustrating. And I think that not making halftime adjustments has been an Auburn tradition my entire life, Dak. It's just something I've never understood why coaches won't do it. And it doesn't seem like they do it. I'm not going to say they don't. It just doesn't seem like they don't do it. And that's extremely frustrating. So hopefully that changes this Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, hopefully we'll be ready for Arkansas.
That's
I know we got one in before that, but I'm telling you, Arkansas looked pretty dang good.
Yeah, they did. Dak, appreciate the call, brother. Great to hear from you, man.
All right, man.
Thanks so much. That is Dak joining us as we wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line, and I think what he said is true. I think he has a really good point on everything, and he speaks for a lot of you, I have a feeling. So more on that game tomorrow, and a reminder, programming note, show is still on tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN. I will not be here, okay? Uncle T-Bone's still in here, and Christian Griffin's going to take over for me tomorrow as I'm on the road to Enterprise to call Auburn High School football. So those two guys will have you for free-for-all Friday. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports will be on the show to start hour one tomorrow right there at 2:05. So be sure you tune in for that, because he'll have some great picks for some SEC football games tomorrow as well. So free-for-all Friday coming up tomorrow. Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin, tune in. And I appreciate you being with us. Again, high school football tomorrow as well. The guys will plug it. Lee Scott on AU100 and Auburn High on Wings 94.3. Thanks to everybody for listening, all of our wonderful guests and callers as well here on the Thursday edition of the show. Back tomorrow is the show, but not me. Christian and T-Bone, they got you 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.